Good afternoon. I'm presenting on behalf of myself, my colleague. He could not be here today, but we're hoping that this presentation will generate a lot of comments and questions that we can take back as we complete writing a paper on this issue. We have no financial relationships to disclose, and this basically is what we're going to talk about today is an introduction of the problem, big data itself, history of regulations, HIPAA and high tech, in the context of big data, proxies, and just ask some ethical questions. And for full disclosure, the reason I got interested in this is because I'm a big data user myself. I do an analytics with it. And so while doing that, some questions started coming up very quickly in terms of privacy issues. So what really is the problem? Well, I would say the growth of technologies that can allow us to analyze data quickly and faster in larger quantities has grown in bounds and will continue to grow in bounds. So we have a lot of use of big data, and I'll preface this by saying we need big data in healthcare. Because you can do a lot of things with it. You could improve health outcomes, you could improve efficiencies of systems. There are a lot of good uses for it. It's just that we're basically all doing it in a kind of blinded way with no real good laws and regulations. What we've done for a long time in healthcare, especially with HIPAA and even high tech, is what we've done is we've controlled the data more from a data collection piece with exceptions. So if you think about HIPAA, most people think HIPAA really provides a lot of privacy. Not exactly, because if you look at it, if you've ever been a patient, you get your HIPAA disclosure to sign, you have a lot of exceptions at the point before the data even begins to be collected. So even HIPAA in that sense, and we'll talk about it, has a lot of exceptions built into it. And when you start using big data, then you see some of the challenges that could come very quickly. The second thing is, as with anything, because of the growth of big data, a lot of companies are providing the services now outside of healthcare. Most of the hospital systems, providers cannot afford the kind of skill sets that are required to analyze big data or use big data software. Hence, they contract out to a lot of DASP, as we call them, data analytics service providers. So typically in that process where it's a business thing and there's a need here and everybody's happy and dancing, privacy issues, data protection issues are usually an afterthought. So it's big data. Now, there's different examples I can give you. One thing I'd like to ask is how many people have health wearables? Do you have a Fitbit? Do you have something? Do you use that? Yeah, cool. Well, not a lot. Wow, you're kind of a different group. Come on, you got to come to the right side. But you see all of that. You got Apple Watch. You got everything there. Well, the beauty of big data is literally I can pull out a pin from a haystack. From millions. A thought came to my mind yesterday when I saw the person who won the best walker for APHA. And I was like, well, what I could do with that is I could literally track him and go to the web and scrape the information and go really crazy and pull it together, and bingo, I've got his health records, and I can say this is the type of person it is, this is where he uses healthcare, and this cool things. Well, that's because we have all, you're being tracked now, whether you like it or not. You've got a cell phone, you're being tracked. I don't care if you wrap it in anything you want to track. You've been tracked. Everyone's tracking you. So we're able to use big data to profile. Why do I want to profile? I want to be able to serve you more. I want to be able to target who I'm serving. And so, again, I say there's a value. So we're all getting our individual dossiers made about. So it does have benefits, you know. We can use it for claims analysis, for improving the quality of healthcare, for a lot of good things, and particularly to determine patient behavior. So I'm not bashing big data, but let's go back to HIPAA and see HIPAA as a little bit of a problem. So like I said, HIPAA has a lot of exceptions built into it. So you go back to the first thing where we talk about data collection. HIPAA does not really concentrate on the data collection itself. It's more concentrated on data disclosure. So who gets the data after it's collected, right? And so the runaround to that is that at the front of the point where you're collecting the data, you just load in all the exceptions in there. patient comes and signs the way. Hey, we're good. So basically what you've done is you've taken HIPAA that was very strong and you watered it down, literally. So it's about how you report it, what you do. So it's about limiting the distribution of the data. Now, the other piece of HIPAA is that it limits it to HIPAA-covered entities, which is most times your healthcare provider or someone within the healthcare system. After that data leaves that system, it's a different ballgame, and we'll talk about that. So in this case, I would like to talk about exceptionalism being a positive thing. The exceptions are really not good for HIPAA. It actually weakens HIPAA in this case. And we've tried to kind of put band-aids around this. The omnibus rules came out. But really what these rules we're talking about is for notification when there's a data breach. Okay, beyond that, that's it. Hey, your data has been lost. Sorry. And so there are challenges in that. So again, talking about HIPAA, confidentiality, it starts getting weakened as you go away from healthcare providers, healthcare parties per se. Limited disruption of data collection, again, is downstream protection of the data. Security rule, yes, you do need consent for outside parties, but what they need to do is like what? Get the identified data. Now, because of the power of big data, I can, depending on some of the things that I have in that data set, I can create that profile back. You know, just subtly, I can pull it back. And then you see the role that the patient plays in it. So some of the HIPAA flaws is constrained to payment and healthcare operations. But even that is debatable. You know, it's so wide. Quality, research, management, it's a wide piece. And just to give you an example of that, recently this year, one of the, because I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know what I can say or cannot say, but one of the large pharmaceutical companies recently profiled all the patients who got drugs from their pharmacies. And they profiled them using their HIPAA data to see how they behave based on their loyalty cards. Well, what are they doing? They're taking healthcare data to do a marketing scheme, okay? The argument was, well, HIPAA does not say we can't do that. Because if you look at that broad exception, remember I talked about exceptions, hey, the exceptions are all fair game. And they did it, and it's okay. So then everybody started screaming, wait, that was not supposed to be what you do with the loyalty cards, you know? So we've got flaws in there. And there comes high tech. Okay, Lifesaver. Yes, not really. Again, it focuses more on breach notification. So yeah, we now started saying, well, let's talk about this business associates with the data analytics service providers of province. So now they get penalties. If the data is breached, they have to notify you. They have to do this. They have to get all that information about. Okay, yes, we did some. But again, it's still a band-aid because we've still not talked about privacy concern at the point the data has been collected up to the end users. All right, so now comes the proxies. What do we do with that data? Well, we do launder it. We can launder the data. We call it de-identification of the data. Yes, we launder it. We send it out. But again, a very savvy big data user can re-identify that data, depending on what tools and techniques they have. Having said this, the biggest challenge you're going to have going in future with regards to big data is going to be a problem that individuals cause. So because of all the wearables that we have, we're actually uploading that data into the cloud. Well, guess what? Who owns the cloud? It's the company that owns the wearables. So if I put it on your system, you have no privacy protection. HIPAA doesn't cover that. It's a non-HIPAA healthcare entity. You chose to put that information up there. As medical inflected data, we can scrape it, we can pull all of those things out. All those exceptions just get a lot more strength because now we can combine the data if we go forward. And the thresholds of privacies and securities are reduced even further. So even the downstream data prevention method we had in HIPAA about disclosure has been weakened as we speak. So my big ethical question here is this. Whose data is it in the first place? Is it the patient's data? And should the patient have all the rights associated with being the owners of that data? Well, it's debatable. if it's the patient's data, but it's hosted on my system and I'm paying for the system, well, I need returns from my system. Think about it. Let me take it away from healthcare. Twitter. You tweet. Okay? Who owns your tweet? Twitter does. You know why? I can go to Twitter, I can pay them a fee, and I can get all your tweets and analyze it. It's not yours. It's the provider, whoever owns it. Is it the provider's data? Is it the health system's data? You know, data analytic companies that get it. Whose data is it? Because, again, someone's going to keep it, someone's going to manage it, and who's responsible for when bad things happen? And who else should we be talking about within this group? Why? Well, this is why. Okay, everybody tells you that your data will never be hacked. Well, guess what? 2015 Wall of Shame. Oh, by the way, the high tech, one of the things they put in the law was that there should be a Wall of Shame. Look at the people here. Care First, Blue Cross Blue Shield. Primera, Blue Cross Blue Shield. Anthem, just in 2015 have been hacked. Okay? It goes beyond your personal identity, healthcare information is critical, as we know. Now, I got some people there that is almost ironical that they've been hacked. Experian, for example, is what? The credit card company. They keep everything. Yay! They were hacked. Their T-Mobile customers. They lost that. Kaspersky. It's a virus. It's a security company. They were hacked. LastPass. I love them. You know why LastPass? Anybody know LastPass? LastPass protects passwords. Guess what? They got everything. Oh, if you think about the feds, the military. Well, guess what? The National Guard. They've been hacked. I love the military because you can't go onto their base with anything. Yet, the way they were hacked were third-party contractors using a jump drive. Someone plugged it in, the system access, and he's gone. Now, why am I saying that? And, of course, the Office of Personnel Management. The idea that your data cannot be hacked is a fallacy. Okay? It's just not, someone's going to try it eventually. As a result of that, we can kind of sense what is probably common. If you're a data analytics service provider, well, are you going to be responsible for the hack? How large can the hack be? If somebody takes the hack data set and dumps it, imagine your sexual records, your treatment records, everything. This is not just your identity being stolen. This is your whole life. It's there. Who's going to pay for it? What's the damages? What's going to be the control? It's going to go beyond notification. What's the laws? Safe harbor, insurance cover. Are we going to do more exceptions? That's what we typically do. Okay, we go back into the law and we piecemeal it into, okay, this is what we'll do, this is what we'll do. Well, the problem with doing those piecemeal responses is as you do that, another loophole opens up. Right? So the question is, if you make the data, you should manage it, and should you also be responsible for that? So what's the outlook for the future? Well, data brokers are not going to like any regulation. Why? Because it's just going to reduce the business. The more the regulation, the more the onus it's on me, and whatever happens, I'll have to pay for it. So I'm going to block it. It's not going to happen. Downstream disclosure regulations, we're going to have more problems. How many people love HIPAA? Yeah, you know how it works. Well, states, that's what we've been using. Over 30 states have more privacy laws related to healthcare data than the feds do. That's where we've been going, and it seems to be well go. Eventually, what's going to happen, and I think we're going to need a tipping point for this to happen, is that the desperate risk of getting even more regulations coming and being exposed to a lot of damages. Think about this. Recently, the Supreme Court ruled that GPS is a search, right, against the Constitution. Well, big data, too, could be what? A search. So if you're a company, you're not thinking about things like that, it is coming. Again, we looked at this, and we were stunned about the gaps and the holes that we have, and we're looking forward to your comments and discussions.